Chapter 42. He saw it clearly enough in the light of a lantern casting spokes of shadow in a cellar-like stable, the body in a sheepskin coat and long boots hanging against the wall. A pointed hood, with the ends wound about up to the eyes, hid the face. But that does not concern me, he reflected. He does not affect my position at all. He never knew who had thrashed him. He could not have known. Razumov felt sorry for the old lover of the bottle and women. Yes. Some of them end like that, he muttered. Had it your idea, Sofia Antonovna? It was really the idea of her correspondent, but Sofia Antonovna had adopted it fully. She stated it in one word, Emmers. Razumov opened his eyes very wide at that. Sofia Antonovna's informant, by listening to the talk of the house, by putting this and that together, had managed to come very near to the truth of Alton's relation to Zamyanich. It is I who can tell you, what you were not certain of, that your friend had some plan for saving himself afterwards, for getting out of St. Petersburg, at any rate. Perhaps that and no more, trusting to luck for the rest. And that fellow's horses were part of the plan. They have actually got at the truth, Razumov marveled to himself, while he nodded judicially. Yes, that's possible, very possible. But the woman revolutionist was very positive that it was so. First of all, a conversation about horses between Alton and Zamyanich had been partly overheard. Then there were the suspicions of the people in the house, when their own gentleman, they did not know Alton by his name, ceased to call at the house. Some of them used to charge Zamyanich with knowing something of this absence. He denied it with exasperation. But the fact was that ever since Alton's disappearance he was not himself, growing moody and thin. Finally, during a quarrel with some woman to whom he was making up, in which most of the inmates of the house took part apparently, he was openly abused by his chief enemy, an athletic peddler, for an informer, and for having driven our young gentleman to Siberia, the same as you did those young fellows who broke into houses. In consequence of this there was a fight, and Zamyanich got flung down a flight of stairs. Thereupon he drank, and moped for a week, and then hanged himself. Sofia Antonovna drew her conclusions from the tale. She charged Zamyanich either with drunken indiscretion, as to a driving job on a certain date, overheard by some spy in some low grog shop perhaps in the very eating shop on the ground floor of the house, or, maybe, a downright denunciation, followed by remorse. A man like that would be capable of anything. People said he was a flighty old chap. And if he had been once before mixed up with the police as seemed certain, though he always denied it in connection with these thieves, he would be sure to be acquainted with some police underlings, always on the lookout for something to report. Possibly at first his tale was not made anything of till the day that scoundrel de P got his deserts. Ah! But then every bit and scrap of hint and information would be acted on, and fatally they were bound to get Alton. Sofia Antonovna spread out her hands, fatally. Fatality chance. Razumov meditated in silent astonishment upon the queer verisimilitude of these inferences. They were obviously to his advantage. It is right now, to make this conclusive evidence known generally. Sofia Antonovna was very calm and deliberate again. As he had received the letter 3 days ago, but did not write at once to Peter Ivanovich. She knew then, that she would have the opportunity presently of meeting several men of action assembled for an important purpose. I thought it would be more effective, if I could show the letter itself at large. I have it in my pocket now. You understand how pleased I was to come upon you. Razumov was saying to himself, she won't offer to show the letter to me. Not likely. Has she told me everything that correspondent of hers has found out? He longed to see the letter, but he felt he must not ask. Tell me please, was this an investigation ordered, as it were? No, no, she protested. Here you are again with your sensitiveness. It makes you stupid. Don't you see, there was no starting point for an investigation, even if anyone had thought of it. A perfect blank. That's exactly what some people were pointing out as the reason for receiving you cautiously. It was all perfectly accidental, arising from my informant striking an acquaintance with an intelligent skin dresser lodging in that particular slum house. A wonderful coincidence. A pious person, suggested Razumov, with a pale smile, would say that the hand of God has done it all. My poor father would have said that. Sofia Antonovna did not smile. She dropped her eyes. Not that his God ever helped him. It's a long time since God has done anything for the people. Anyway, it's done. All this would be quite final, said Razumov, with every appearance of reflective impartiality, if there was any certitude that the young gentleman of these people was Victor Alden. Have we got that? Yes. There's no mistake. My correspondent was as familiar with Alden's personal appearance as with your own, the woman affirmed decisively. It's the red-nosed fellow beyond a doubt, Razumov said to himself, with reawakened uneasiness. Had his own visit to that accursed house passed unnoticed? It was barely possible. Yet it was hardly probable. It was just the right sort of food for the popular gossip that gaunt busybody had been picking up. But the letter did not seem to contain any allusion to that. Unless he had suppressed it. And, if so, why? If it had really escaped the prying of that hunger-stricken Democrat with a confounded genius for recognizing people from description, it could only be for a time. He would come upon it presently, and hasten to write another letter and then. For all the envenomed recklessness of his temper, fed on hate and disdain, Razumov shuddered inwardly. It guarded him from common fear, but it could not defend him from disgust at being dealt with in any way by these people. It was a sort of superstitious dread. Now, since his position had been made more secure by their own folly at the cost of Zamyanich, he felt the need of perfect safety, with its freedom from direct lying, with its power of moving amongst them silent, unquestioning, listening, impenetrable, like the very fate of their crimes and their folly. Was this advantage his already? Or not yet? Or never would be? Well, Sofia Antonovna, his air of reluctant concession was genuine in so far that he was really loath to part with her without testing her sincerity by a question it was impossible to bring about in any way. Well, Sofia Antonovna, if that is so, then the creature has done justice to himself, the woman observed, as if thinking aloud. What? Ah, yes. Remorse, Razumov muttered, with equivocal contempt. Don't be harsh, Kirillo Sidorovich, if you have lost a friend. There was no hint of softness in her tone, only the black glitter of her eyes seemed detached for an instant from vengeful visions. He was a man of the people. The simple Russian soul is never wholly impenitent. It's something to know that. Consoling? Insinuated Razumov, in a tone of inquiry. Leave off railing, she checked him explosively. Emimer, Razumov, that women, children, and revolutionists hate irony, which is the negation of all saving instincts, of all faith, of all devotion, of all action. Don't rail. Leave off. I don't know how it is, but there are moments when you are abhorrent to me. She averted her face. A languid silence, as if all the electricity of the situation had been discharged in this flash of passion, lasted for some time. Razumov had not flinched. Suddenly she laid the tips of her fingers on his sleeve. Don't mind. I don't mind, he said very quietly. He was proud to feel that she could read nothing on his face. He was really mollified, relieved, if only for a moment, from an obscure oppression. And suddenly he asked himself, why the devil did I go to that house? It was an imbecile thing to do. A profound disgust came over him. Sofia Antonovna lingered, talking in a friendly manner with an evident conciliatory intention. And it was still about the famous letter, referring to various minute details given by her informant, who had never seen Zamayanich. The victim of remorse had been buried several weeks before her correspondent began frequenting the house. But the house contained very good revolutionary material. The spirit of the heroic Alden had passed through these dens of black wretchedness with a promise of universal redemption from all the miseries that oppress mankind. Razumov listened without hearing, gnawed by the newborn desire of safety with its independence from that degrading method of direct lying which at times he found it almost impossible to practice. No. The point he wanted to hear about could never come into this conversation. There was no way of bringing it forward. He regretted not having composed a perfect story for use abroad, in which his fatal connection with the house might have been owned up to. But when he left Russia he did not know that Zamayanich had hanged himself. And, anyway, who could have foreseen this woman's informant stumbling upon that particular slum, of all the slums awaiting destruction in the purifying flame of social revolution? Who could have foreseen? Nobody. "'Tis a perfect, diabolic surprise," thought Razumov, calm faced in his attitude of inscrutable superiority, nodding assent to Sofia Antonovna's remarks upon the psychology of the people. "H yes, certainly," rather coldly, but with a nervous longing in his fingers, to tear some sort of confession out of her throat. Then, at the very last, on the point of separating, the feeling of relaxed tension already upon him, he heard Sofia Antonovna allude to the subject of his uneasiness. How it came about he could only guess, his mind being absent at the moment, but it must have sprung from Sofia Antonovna's complaints of the illogical absurdity of the people. For instance, that Zamayanich was notoriously irreligious, and yet, in the last weeks of his life, he suffered from the notion that he had been beaten by the devil. "The devil," repeated Razumov, as though he had not heard aright. "The actual devil. The devil in person. You may well look astonished, Kirillo Sidorovich. Early on the very night poor Alden was taken, a complete stranger turned up, and gave Zamayanich a most fearful thrashing, while he was lying dead drunk in the stable. The wretched creature's body was one mass of bruises. He showed them to the people in the house. But you, Sofia Antonovna, you don't believe in the actual devil? Do you?" retorted the woman curtly. "Ah, but that there are plenty of men worse than devils, to make a hell of this earth," she muttered to herself. Razumov watched her, vigorous and white-haired, with a deep fold between her thin eyebrows, and her black glance turned idly away. It was obvious that she did not make much of the story unless, indeed, this was the perfection of duplicity. "Dark young man," she explained further. "Ever seen there before, never seen afterwards. Why are you smiling, Razumov?" "At the devil, being still young after all these ages," he answered composedly. "Ut who was able to describe him, since the victim, you say, was dead drunk at the time? Oh, the eating housekeeper has described him. An overbearing, swarthy young man in a student's cloak, who came rushing in, demanded Zamayanich, beat him furiously, and rushed away without a word, leaving the eating housekeeper paralyzed with astonishment. Does he too believe it was the devil? That I can't say. I am told he's very reserved on the matter. Those sellers of spirits are great scoundrels generally. I should think he knows more of it than anybody. Well, and you, Sofia Antonovna, what's your theory?" asked Razumov in a tone of great interest. "Ours and your informant's, who is on the spot. I agree with him. Some police hound in disguise. Who else could beat a helpless man so unmercifully? As for the rest, if they were out that day on every trail, old and new, it is probable enough that they might have thought it just as well to have Zamayanich at hand for more information, or for identification, or whatnot. Some scoundrelly detective was sent to fetch him along, and being vexed at finding him so drunk broke a stable fork over his ribs. Later on, after they had the big game safe in the net, they troubled their heads no more about that peasant." Such were the last words of the woman revolutionist in this conversation. K. keeping so close to the truth, departing from it, so far in the verisimilitude of thoughts and conclusions, as to give one the notion of the invincible nature of human error, a glimpse into the utmost depths of self-deception. Razumov, after shaking hands with Sofia Antonovna, left the grounds, crossed the road, and walking out on the little steamboat pier leaned over the rail. His mind was at ease. Ease such as he had not known for many days, ever since that night. The night. The conversation with the woman revolutionist had given him the view of his danger at the very moment this danger vanished, characteristically enough. Ought to have foreseen the doubts that would arise in those people's minds, he thought. Then his attention being attracted by a stone of peculiar shape, which he could see clearly lying at the bottom, he began to speculate as to the depth of water in that spot. But very soon, with a start of wonder at this extraordinary instance of ill-timed detachment, he returned to his train of thought. Ought to have told very circumstantial lies from the first, he said to himself, with a mortal distaste of the mere idea which silenced his mental utterance for quite a perceptible interval. Luckily, that's all right now, he reflected, and after a time spoke to himself, half aloud, thanks to the devil, and laughed a little. The end of Zamyanich then arrested his wandering thoughts. He was not exactly amused at the interpretation, but he could not help detecting in it a certain piquancy. He owned to himself that, had he known of that suicide before leaving Russia, he would have been incapable of making such excellent use of it for his own purposes. He ought to be infinitely obliged to the fellow with the red nose for his patience and ingenuity, a wonderful psychologist apparently, he said to himself sarcastically. Remorse, indeed. It was a striking example of your true conspirator's blindness, of the stupid subtlety of people with one idea. This was a drama of love, not of conscience, Razumov continued to himself mockingly. A woman the old fellow was making up to. A robust peddler, clearly a rival, throwing him down a flight of stairs. And at 60, for a lifelong lover, it was not an easy matter to get over. That was a feminist of a different stamp from Peter Ivanovich. Even the comfort of the bottle might conceivably fail him in this supreme crisis. At such an age nothing but a halter could cure the pangs of an unquenchable passion. And, besides, there was the wild exasperation aroused by the unjust aspersions, and the contumely of the house, with the maddening impossibility, to account for that mysterious thrashing, added to the simple and bitter sorrows. Evil, eh? Razumov exclaimed, with mental excitement, as if he had made an interesting discovery. Zamyanich ended by falling into mysticism. So many of our true Russian souls end in that way. Very characteristic. He felt pity for Zamyanich, a large neutral pity, such as one may feel for an unconscious multitude, a great people seen from above like a community of crawling ants working out its destiny. It was as if this Zamyanich could not possibly have done anything else. And Sofia Antonovna's cocksure and contemptuous home police hound was characteristically Russian in another way. But there was no tragedy there. This was a comedy of errors. It was as if the devil himself were playing a game with all of them in turn. First with him, then with Zamyanich, then with those revolutionists. The devil's own game this. He interrupted his earnest mental soliloquy with a jocular thought at his own expense. Allo. I am falling into mysticism too. His mind was more at ease than ever. Turning about he put his back against the rail comfortably. This fits with marvelous aptness, he continued to think. The brilliance of my reputed exploit is no longer darkened by the fate of my supposed colleague. The mystic Zamyanich accounts for that. An incredible chance has served me. No more need of lies. I shall have only to listen, and to keep my scorn from getting the upper hand of my caution. He sighed, folded his arms, his chin dropped on his breast, and it was a long time before he started forward from that pose, with the recollection that he had made up his mind to do something important that day. What it was he could not immediately recall, yet he made no effort of memory, for he was uneasily certain that he would remember presently. He had not gone more than 100 yards towards the town when he slowed down, almost faltered in his walk, at the sight of a figure walking in the contrary direction, draped in a cloak, under a soft, broad-brimmed hat, picturesque but diminutive, as if seen through the big end of an opera glass. It was Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.